Good morning. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And that's my music. That's the music that just gets me going, man. I just flow.
Yeah, but they say that, you know, anything can be, or what was it? Anyone can be great?
No, well, yeah.
That's not us.
Anyway,
definitely.
They still keep inviting us back.
They do. They can't find anybody to get up this early.
And we have with us
Susan Bell.
NASA, JPL. Well, NASA and JPL are two different entities, are they not?
No, JPL is a center run by Caltech for NASA.
Oh, so it's like NASA rents the place.
Kind of.
Yeah, sort of. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
You're working under contract, you know, there's a commission fee involved.
They're behind a bunch of doors, like we said, with a lot of letters on them. Nobody knows what it means. It just looks good.
I never could understand the name, though. Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Yeah, and they play with rockets.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I'll give you a quick history on that.
Go for it.
Actually, Caltech was developing some of the first rockets, and we were with the Army before there was NASA, and we did jet-assisted takeoff rockets.
Oh, no kidding. The original JATO bottles.
Yes. That's where Jet Propulsion Lab comes from.
Son of a gun.
There you go.
Anyway, there it is. You another know, mystery of the universe.
Before that, it was called ACME, putting rockets on anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys have an airborne science program. Let's talk about that.
All right. Well, airborne science is across all of NASA. So we're basically taking all kinds of airplanes from a DC-8 to ER-2s, which are civilian U-2 aircraft, King Airs, C-130s, P-3 Orions, Gulfstreams.
Well, you guys have all the cool airplanes.
We do. We have some pretty cool airplanes.
Yeah.
And then we put instruments on board. Sometimes we are testing those instruments for future spaceflight missions, like calibrating, developing an idea for, say, monitoring snowpack in the western United States or air pollution around the world. Or we're sometimes responding to a natural event, such as the current volcanic eruptions in Hawaii. We have a radar mission out there mapping them currently.
Oh, interesting. So you're not necessarily talking about vehicle sensors itself, more like environmental sensors.
Everything. We monitor everything from air pollution, snowpack, coral reefs, volcanoes, you name it.
Percent of bald people walking around? No, just kidding.
Oh, well, we could probably develop a sensor to do that.
Well, you know, you guys did send me a letter to say, please don't go outside without a hat. You're blinding the astronauts on the space
station. You might
be
reflecting sunlight into space
exactly.
And cooling the planet.
Yeah, well, that's really bad. Now I'm feeling real guilty. Club for men, here I come.
Yeah, I would just like to know where on earth you got a DC-8. Those things are few and far between these days.
Oh, they are. Our DC-8, she was built in 1969. NASA acquired her in 1985, put new engines on her, and she is I call her the queen of the science skies because she is a great airborne platform. They took out all the seats, put racks of instruments on board. 40 scientists can fly with it. They take out our windows, put probes out the windows along her wings, and off she flies around the world.
And they did leave the bathroom in, right?
That's
the
most important instrument. There is a bathroom. There is a bathroom. Yep. She does some really interesting missions. She currently just wrapped up a mission called ATOM, which is atmospheric tomography, which is basically atmospheric chemistry. She left California, where she's based in the Palmdale area near Edwards, went up to Alaska, flew down the middle Pacific Ocean, going to about 35,000 feet and then coming down to 500 feet.
Ooh.
And then they continue doing that, taking samples along the way of the chemicals in the air.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if the pilots are like, hey, let's mess with them.
Actually, I'm guessing that the pilot up in the front, as soon as they got that thing down to 500 feet and trimmed out, he's up there going, woohoo!
I think they are.
Yeah, the door's closed, so they don't want to scare the scientists. Have you flown on that?
I have not. I have a standing invitation, but I'm just so busy talking to the public about awesome science most of the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, flying upside down competitively in my spare time.
Not in the DC-8, though.
Not in the DC-8, though.
But
no.
You've thought about it. You know, the 707 was rolled.
Well, we have a lot of equipment in there. I don't know if I want it to hit the ceiling.
Well, hopefully it's bolted down.
Oh, it is. They do shake tests.
Except for the scientists.
Yep.
They're never bolted down.
No.
They are not. They are some wild scientists. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I can just imagine
the mental
what's going
picture
on there.
There. A wild scientist is a guy who brings, like, 2 pens.
You know,
yes.
Now we've figured out why they took out all the seats, because unbeknownst to everybody else, they put a bowling alley in once they get off the ground.
Zero-G bowling. That would be intriguing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you also fly competitive aerobatics, but not under the JPL banner.
Not under the JPL banner. I am a member of the International Aerobatic Club. It's my third year flying competition. I originally started in primary, of course, with a Super Decathlon with a safety pilot. Last year, I bought someone's extra 300. They were retiring.
Oh, starting simple, are you?
Yeah, you know, it took me a little while to learn to fly that, coming up from a decathlon. But I'm doing pretty good this year, and I will be coming out here for Nationals in September.
Wow.
So.
We'll keep an eye out to see how well you do.
Oh, I'm gunning for that championship.
It sounds like you're determined.
I am determined.
And if you're in California, there's no shortage of flying weather to practice.
Oh, I practice every weekend.
Wow.
I was going to say, are they going to let you fly the DC-8 if you win the championship?
Nice.
I wish. That, I may start negotiating that into my contract.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Either that or get a couple extra weeks of vacation so you can practice flying more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And free fuel.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, JPL does so many different things. I mean, you're involved in a pure science wing? Are you overall?
Yeah, so JPL, we are one of the largest centers in NASA for the study of Earth. But, of course, we're known a lot for our Mars missions because we control the Mars rovers there.
Yeah, I want to personally thank you for saving Matt Damon.
Oh, thank you. We have to save Matt Damon often.
NASA's spent a lot of money saving Matt Damon.
We have. Yeah, we also have. We also are the center for the Deep Space Network, and that is the center of antennas three places around the world that turn and listen to all and talk to all the satellites all over the solar system. And we still talk to Voyager, and that data all comes into the Jet Propulsion Lab.
Oh, my goodness.
Voyager still...
That's out beyond Pluto now, isn't it?
Oh, it's out. It's beyond the solar system.
How do you even know where to find it?
I mean... We're good.
A little half a arc second of movement, and then you're off target.
Yeah, no. Space flight is pretty precise.
Yeah, well, yeah. Not always, but now it is.
Now it is. Yeah, we missed Mars once.
Yeah.
You know, we missed the moon a lot in the early days of the space program.
I remember reading that on a Mercury landing, they missed the landing point by 200 miles because they forgot about the Earth rotating when they calculated reentry.
Oh, yeah.
Oops.
But we're getting better. But, you know, there's a saying space is hard, and sometimes it is because it's not a forgiving environment.
Right.
Not at all.
Right. Yep. Space, will you ever forgive me?
No.
I don't know. This starts sounding like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Exactly.
Really. Always know where your towel
right.
is.
Do you send astronauts with towels? Do they bring their own towels?
You know what? I am not a manned spaceflight person at all. I only do it with instruments. That's why JPL. JPL is robotic instruments.
Oh,
we actually aren't involved in the manned program at all.
Huh. So you didn't save Matt Damon.
I did. Well, no, we would have talked to him through the Deep Space Network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Phone home.
We phone home a lot, yeah.
If you're involved with the robotics and everything, are they planning more rovers for Mars?
Yes, we are currently building the Mars 2020 rover, which is like Mars Curiosity. It'll have some more advanced instruments on it, better wheels, because our wheels are getting torn up, and it's going to be the first rover that's actually going to be looking for hopefully maybe signs of life.
Cool.
Or past life. When we
so you've got a flat on Mars, huh?
Yep.
Well, I thought the wheels were just metal.
They're metal. They're getting torn up by the sharp rocks.
Wow. Titanium was the next one?
Yep.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Titanium's tough stuff.
Yeah.
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 But
you know, they weren't radials, and they weren't 50,000-mile rated, I guess, you know?
Yep. Well, you know, the thing is, you're up there on Mars and everything, and you have a problem with the rover, you know, you just can't call AAA and say, hey, it's broke.
Well, obviously. But it always amazes me how you guys can... bring it back to life. Let's try sending these commands. Let's try doing this. Let's try doing that. You really have to know your hardware to be able to do things like that.
Oh, we hire some really smart engineers and computer scientists. That, you know, the people at NASA, they're very innovative because everything we're doing, whether it's Mars or Earth, this is the cutting edge science. And we are developing stuff. It's not something you're taking something off the shelf. So.
No?
Yeah.
Oh,
You're the first.
I would love to work for NASA, but they would never hire me.
You're the first builders of the stuff that eventually winds up on the shelf.
Yes, that is very much. We do a lot of instruments, a lot of experimentation, and trying to figure out how something's going to monitor something. Then it will eventually trickle down through the technology program.
Right. So somewhere you've got a think tank that's like, well, how can we figure out if there's water on the planet?
Yes. Or like we actually
it's simple. Just hold out a glass and wait for an ice cube.
Yeah. Like even the back to the airborne science, we have a mission. We have a instrument that's it's a spectrometer, which basically think of it as a very precision prism that breaks light apart.
Right.
So they're developing a future satellite mission about that. We're testing on our airborne platforms, including the ER-2, because the ER-2 can fly above 95% of the world's atmosphere, and then we can calibrate that instrument over things we know on the ground to make certain it's working. Someone took the good idea, why don't we do that and fly it over coral reefs? So there's a mission studying coral, and we're trying to actually take out the column of water and see the coral below.
Wow. And pretty soon that'll be an app on some kid's phone.
Yeah, really.
You know?
That's amazing technology. Who thinks all this stuff up?
That is at least a three-beer concept.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense until you've had three beers.
You know, I can just see this. You know, they have a staff meeting at JPL. They break out the margaritas. All right, guys and gals, what are we doing next, you know?
I wish it went that way.
Yeah. I'm sure they've got a nice laundry list of ideas.
Yeah.
So, oh, my goodness. Well, where do we go from here?
Well, I'll say if people want to hear more, I am doing a forum at 11:30 a.m., Forum 9 building, on this topic of airborne science.
Very cool.
That's today.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Susan, right?
Did I get that right? Susan, you got it right.
Oh, good.
Remember that name.
See, I've got a mind like a... Anyway, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.